Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Aaron Kengis from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol, Tennessee, and the Bristol, Virginia area. Pastor Kengis, welcome to His Time.
Thank you very much, Andy. Good to be with you.
I am looking forward to studying God's Word with you today and learning more about your congregation as well. Tell us about Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol.
Okay. Well, we are at least a relatively new congregation. It was incorporated in 2002, and they were actually nurtured by some retired pastors for many years, and then they called me as their pastor in 2010, at which time there were only a handful of congregation members, and by God's grace, we're up to 41 baptized believers.
Well, thanks be to God. Tell us about the community there, Bristol, Tennessee, Bristol, Virginia.
Well, it's a very interesting community in that, as all communities are, but it's unique in that it's kind of located on a plain in between mountains on either side and the Appalachians. You've got kind of the Cumberland plateau and hills on the west, and to the east you've got the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Holston Mountains and things like that. We're located in the northeastern corner of Tennessee, if you're thinking about it in terms of Tennessee, or down in the southwest corner of Virginia, right where the two states sit on top of each other, I guess you could say.
Well, glad that you are there proclaiming the good news of Jesus, serving the saints, and it is time to study God's Word. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 21 is our text today. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this, Pastor?
Okay, well, I'd like you to be very attentive to the theme, not only in this chapter, but throughout Luke, which is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so it's all about listening and attending to God's Word.
All right. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. We're studying with Pastor Kengis from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol, Tennessee. And if you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. All right. So soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Pastor, where are we?
We are, well, besides being in Luke chapter 8, we are nearing the what you might call kind of the apex of Jesus' ministry. His transfiguration is coming up in the next chapter, at which point he also turns his face to Jerusalem. And so at this point, Jesus is traveling in his earthly ministry, and he is fulfilling that which he first said in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, where in Nazareth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so in Luke chapter 8, we're seeing that this fulfillment of Isaiah Luke chapter 4 is taking place as it follows very closely on Luke 7 with the forgiven sinner woman and how this proclamation of the good news of the kingdom of God is being enfleshed in Jesus Christ. And so then the question is, what is that kingdom? What is that proclamation? What is that good news of the kingdom of God? Well, it is the rule and the order of forgiveness, peace, and salvation. It is the revelation and manifestation of what is God's will for all people, and that is that they would be given peace, that they'd be given salvation and mercy by the forgiveness of sin. That is the good news of victory that defeats all the things that plague us here on earth, caused by our sin, demons, illness, and even death. And so a lot of his miraculous signs are tied in with and pointing to the greater power of his word, and even this word in the flesh, which is Jesus Christ.
So he's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. This includes Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of, I'm not sure who, is this Chuza or Chuza?
Chuza,
Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. So some demon casting, getting demons sent out.
Yeah, and this is a really great section in Luke, because it's actually describing those who have heard the word of God, who have responded to Jesus in his proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, those who have had firsthand experience not only in hearing and listening, but as you mentioned, we have not only the 12 who were chosen specifically to be his disciples, but then also these women, and we have 3 names here listed. We have Mary Magdalene, who 7 demons had gone out from her. We have Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna. And a little bit of interesting note here. Mary Magdalene and Joanna we hear about more than once. But Susanna, this is the only time that she is actually listed in the New Testament. And so the question is, why is she listed only here and nowhere else? And I don't really have a very good answer to that, but sometimes I would suspect that it's possible that Susanna may have been someone known in the early Christian community. And so she is an early witness to this. And Joanna, being the wife of Herod's household manager, is also showing to the readers as well as to Theophilus, who is receiving this gospel first, that already here the proclamation of God's word had even made it into the higher nobility class, and then you have Mary, who had been possessed by demons and had been freed by God's word. And then we have the aspect, like you read, of the fact that these three women, as well as many others, provided for them or for him out of their means. And so this is also kind of foreshadowing what it means to hear God's word and to do it, in that they are already putting their possessions at the disposal of Jesus, responding to this word of God, making it possible logistically for Jesus and the 12 to travel about the countryside and proclaiming this good news. The other thing about the disciples that I want to say, that the 12, before we move on, is that this actually sounds very similar to the beginning of Luke 9, because in Luke 9, the 12 are actually at that point going to be sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God. They themselves will also be given authority over demons and diseases to proclaim and to heal. And what yet is being omitted here is the fact that they are not yet given to teach. They're not given to teach until Matthew 28 and then the book of Acts after the Holy Spirit is given at Pentecost.
Anything else up through verse 3 before we look at the next section and start this parable?
Well, I guess the only thing I'd want to say again is this aspect of hearing, because Jesus, of course, had been doing much preaching in other places and proclaiming, and yet these are they who have heard. There are many who have heard and yet have not responded, which I think opens the door then to the parable where Jesus actually addresses why is it that those who hear, among those who hear, not all respond positively. So I think that kind of sets the stage then for the parable of the sower.
All right, let's take a look at this parable. Verse 4, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So now we have a parable, and I know that there's an explanation or a purpose of the parable coming up in just a little bit, but just to look at this parable without trying to explain it much, what do we have here? A great crowd gathered, and he tells them from town after town, and he speaks to them a parable.
Well, we have Jesus speaking this parable to a great collection of people, some people who were probably coming just out of curiosity because they had heard about this man who was doing miraculous signs and teaching. And we do know from earlier in the gospel that people had, and other gospels, that, hey, this man has authority. You know, he's teaching with authority. He's different than the other rabbis and everything. And so they were probably curious. And this parable is an agrarian or a farm-related type of parable that most people would have had some familiarity with at that time. And And I think many of our listeners here today with this program probably are familiar with this parable as they hear it. It's also in Matthew and Mark. And one of the things that's very interesting is all three parables, though they word things slightly differently, all end with Jesus calling out with a great voice or saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Hmm. He who has ears, let him hear. This is we hear this numerous times, don't we?
Yes, we do. It is it's used twice in Luke, and it's used more often in Matthew. And the word, the Greek word akouo, or all mm-hmm. its variations, is actually used 437 times in the New Testament. This hearing is not only just to hear it, but it's also where you're actually listening. So it's not like when you just kind of hear this side noise or blue noise or whatever you want to call it, dogs in the background, that kind of thing. But you're actually hearing, you're actually listening. And the Gospel of Luke actually uses this word 59 times. And what also is curious is that the word ear, which in the Greek is ous, is actually only used 37 times. And in Luke, it's used 7 times. But looking ahead in the Gospel of Luke, 2 times that the word ear is used in very quick succession is, can you guess, Andy, when that might be?
The 2 times that the word ear is used in succession?
Yeah, in very quick succession, later in the Gospel.
I don't know. When would that be?
It's when the ear of the servant of the high priest gets cut off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why was that ear cut off? And why did Jesus heal that ear? It's because that's the instrument to receive God's word.
Yeah. Huh.
And so I find that to be very interesting and an important aspect, not only to this gospel, but to all the gospels, the aspect of hearing, and not just hearing in the sense of like we might sort of listen to music absentmindedly in the background while we're doing some other work, but actually listening.
Right. We're studying the daily New Testament reading, and we're studying today with Pastor Kangas from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol, Tennessee. We're taking a look at Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. If you have a question on the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Do you believe that KFUO and the Worldwide Proclamation of the Gospel is worthy of your support? KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Charathon 2016, a 3-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Charathon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Charathon, remember you can support us online anytime at kfuo.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts@kfuo.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Aaron Kangas from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol, Tennessee. And we're in Luke chapter 8 today. Pastor, anything else before we go on to the explanation of the purpose of the parable?
No, not at this time.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who then, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches of pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." All right, so his disciples asked him what the parable meant. What this parable meant, and he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Interesting. Pastor?
Yes, it is interesting. This, again, is kind of hearkening back to the book of Isaiah, where God said through Isaiah that they indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now, that isn't that God doesn't want people to hear or to see and believe, but it's just that some, in the rejection of God's word, they do not turn, and they are not turned and refuse to be turned. And so, by their refusal to listen, they are in fact unhardened and are not given to understand these things. And later on in our reading for today, it talks about let me look at my notes here again. Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." And I think that helps explain what is going on here, as well as later on when he says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Notice how the disciples actually asked Jesus, "What does this mean?" And as Lutherans and as Christians, I think we are given to ask, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And so we go straight to the source. We are called to go straight to the source, which during Jesus' earthly ministry would have been Jesus right there. But for today, we continue to go to the source, which is his word, and to the teachings that we've been given, and to the places where he promises to be. And so this is what it means to also hear, so that we kind of chew on his word, and we try to study it further and understand it. Not that we try to become masters of it, as though we are master of God's word, but that we become subject to it, and subject to the answers that are given, as God's word interprets God's word to us and for us, and in humbleness and humility to him.
Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, it is. And that's really the reality of the world in which we live. As we know, we do not battle just against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the powers of darkness. We're battling against the demons themselves. And so the demons and the devils, led by the prince of all lies, Satan, tries to do everything they can to pluck the word of God from us, whether it be through the persecution of the church in nations where Christianity is outlawed, or like in China where it has to be a state church where they only say certain things, or even in the Western countries now where the word of God is being oppressed and being portrayed as bigoted unless they allow for certain things that are clearly unscriptural. And also he even plucks the word of God by sending forth false teachers, those who pretend to be proclaiming God's word but really aren't, those who speak only of prosperity, who do not speak about sin, who do not speak about repentance and hope only in Jesus Christ, but speak only about hope here in this life or that kind of thing, prosperity gospel preachers like Joel Osteen and others. I really do believe that these are false prophets that the devil also uses to confuse and to twist God's word or even remove it by not even speaking God's word and yet having the guise of being preachers of God's word. And so these are all ways in which the devil tries to pluck God's word away from people lest they actually believe and be saved.
And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy but have no root. They believe for a while, and the time of testing fall away. And for those who fall among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature.
With this, then we have the seed, which of course is the word of God, I think it's interesting that Luke uses that it fell on the rock. Matthew and Mark both say rocky soil. But Luke says rock, and very often we talk about things being built on the rock as a positive, but in this case, the rock is the rocky hearts of men and women who may first hear the word of God, but do not allow it to actually do anything more. I would say this is they receive it with joy, but they don't follow up. You know, they don't follow up by going to a church. They don't go to where God's word is. They don't go to faithful church. And so because they have no roots, and notice it also says they wither because there's no moisture. And very often moisture in the context of the Gospels is talking about the living waters that come from Jesus, especially in the Gospel of John, but even here in Luke, you have aspects of it. And so if you're not going where the Holy Spirit can actually crush that rocky heart and then water it and fertilize it, then yes, the times of testing come and there's nothing to withhold it, to root it. And so they fall away. And then, Andy, had you read about the thorns? I don't remember.
Yes. For what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So the cares and riches, all the things of this world that perhaps we enjoy, they're choked by that, and their fruit does not mature.
Yes, thank you. And this does not mean that we are not to enjoy the first article gifts that God has given us here on earth. He has given us our wives, husbands, our children, our food, clothing, house, home, all those things. And he's given them to us to enjoy here on earth, but not to worship, not to use that as a distraction. So that becomes our gods. And so In this parable, we see that these are they who have the Word of God, but they also end up getting choked out because instead of going to church on Sunday morning, maybe they choose a soccer match or some other kind of thing like that. And it's not just a one-time thing, but it becomes habitual. And other things like that, pleasures of life, riches, that's what they begin to try to pursue. And so sadly, these things end up choking out the faith that had been there. And so they too fall away and do not make it to the crown of life, to the final harvest.
As for that in the good soil, they are those hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience.
And here we have finally the fourth place where the word of God lands. And so think about that, 25%. This is not an exact amount, of course, like only 25% of all people who hear are saved or something. That's missing the point. However, what it's saying is there are those who do receive the word of God, and this is good soil. What makes it good soil? Well, what makes it good soil is the fact that these are they who do not offer any roadblocks, and the roadblocks that are given, the barriers that are given, the Holy Spirit still uses his word, uses baptism, uses all these means to overcome it, to crush it, and to plant it home. And so these are the ones who receive this, and they're able to hold fast with patience. Well, this holding fast is really what is faith. And with patience, that's really one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so all of these things, even the being able to grasp and hold and be patient, even in the midst of persecution and sufferings or doubt or the other things where the devil's trying to pursue and take things, it is by the Holy Spirit and clinging to his word, clinging to the hope that is in us through faith, that believers are able to hang on. And this takes us to another point that I hadn't gotten to yet. And there's one part of the parable that is not explained. Jesus does not talk about, I mean, you've got a whole list of the seed is the word of God and so on. Well, he doesn't even say who the sower is. And who do you suppose the sower is?
Well, the sower, I would guess the sower is the Lord.
Yeah, yes. The sower is Jesus Christ. And so this is what he had been doing during his earthly ministry. This is what his authority was, and that was to sow the seed. As it says, the sowing of the seed by the sower. And in the Greek, it sounds very remarkable, too. And the sower is Jesus Christ. It is God, and those to whom he gives the authority to proclaim and to acclaim this word of God. And so that ultimately is the point of the parable, is that it is the sower who is sowing generously, even in places that have no business growing. He still sows that seed, because he still is generous and merciful and loving. And the Holy Spirit can even make those places that seem like they wouldn't otherwise bear fruit. Why? Because the sower is the one who has triumphed over all these enemies. And so it is by his work, by his keeping, by his strengthening, that the seed can grow up to a full plant with fruit, as Matthew and Mark say, some 30, 60, and some 100-fold, or here in Luke, 100-fold, because of the patience that's been given by the Holy Spirit.
Let's take a look at these last few verses here. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." With just under a minute, Pastor, how might we sum up these last verses 16 through 21?
Okay, I would summarize it by saying that this light and this lamp is Jesus Christ. It is his word, which is a lamp to our feet and light to our paths. And so we have the seeing, but we also have the hearing. And it is this revelation of God's will for us that is his mercy, his love, his forgiveness of our sin that lights up the darkness of unbelief, that lights up the darkness of our sin. It is his voice that cuts through all the other noise around us so that the mysteries of God's kingdom are made manifest and revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the cross, where our salvation is revealed, where he continues to call to us to come to where he is in his word and sacrament, where he promises to fellowship with his people, forgiven sinners, planted and watered in holy baptism by his word and by his spirit, as we are nourished by ongoing preaching and teaching. That's what it means by having things added to us, by hearing his word and doing it. It means receiving. Receiving and then being blessed so that in our vocations we may also sow this word to our neighbors, to our co-workers, as we speak this magnificent and wondrous good news of God's indwelling kingdom, that forgiveness has come, that mercy is ours, that Jesus Christ has forgiven you your sins, and he has resurrected, he is risen from the dead, and so even our greatest enemy of death has been overcome in him.
Amen. Amen. We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Aaron Kangas from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol, Tennessee, Bristol, Virginia. Pastor Kangas, thanks so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study in Luke chapter 8 today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Andy. I'm very glad I could do it.
God bless you and all the saints there at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Bristol. Coming up in just a little bit, historically speaking with our friend, Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute. You're listening to His Time.